Good evening. As Jeff mentioned, we have the opportunity to go over the book of Lamentations in this new series of devotion before our time of prayer. And I believe we'll do this over the course of the next 2 months, 7 to 8 weeks, and we'll be covering various brothers have graciously joined me to come up and share a devotion and encouraging thoughts from the book of Lamentations before the prayer time. So as we are starting, I'd like to take the opportunity today to do a little bit of an intro to the book of Lamentations, as well as give a little bit of background and then and the theme of Lamentations, and then share some thoughts from and read portions from chapter 1. Before we do that, let me go ahead and just open up while I'm here in prayer. Father God, we just thank you so much for the opportunity again, as Jeff just prayed, that we have this opportunity to come before you and make our matters known to you. As I'm about to share this devotion this evening from your word, we pray that you would just enable me to speak very clearly and succinctly your words from this scripture and this passage and how it can apply to us and benefit our daily lives and our daily walk with you. So thank you again that we have the opportunity to open up your word, to read it, to study it, and to come to you in prayer with your words as the guide for our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So getting into the introduction of just the book of Lamentations, my father-in-law and I here, we're talking about this, and Lamentations, we both agreed, is a book that we haven't spent much time on, so if we were to get a Bible trivia on it or quizzed on it, we probably wouldn't have a lot of the right answers, and oftentimes that's what happens. We focus on certain passages and books, and this was a good reminder for me to remember the importance of all Scripture, right? All Scripture, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the application that it can have on our life. And furthermore, not just studying a book by itself, but in studying the book of Lamentations, the Lord opens up in such a beautiful way just the passages and Lamentations and connections from historically what it's connected to, the prophet who is speaking and who is lamenting based on the events of the day and what's happened, and how it ties into the New Testament. It was a good encouragement and reminder for me once again for how valuable and how important it is to dig deep into the Word of God. And I say that to all of us as an encouragement to myself. And I look at two of my young nieces who are here in the congregation today who are young in their faith and growing, and how important and valuable it is to study and spend that time in the Word of God. And it was a great encouragement for me. And I thank my brother Sam for Matthias for allowing me this opportunity. So the intro to Lamentations. First, let's talk about the structure. The structure that you'll find in this book is it's an Old Testament book that contains five poems. Okay, within the poems, there's five chapters, five poems. Four of them have a very unique style. It's an acrostic structure where it's similar to an alphabet poem. And in this alphabet poem, you have the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet, and each verse in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 4 starts with the first letter, second letter, the third letter of the alphabet. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and so you'll see that structure in chapters 1, 2, and 4. In chapter 3, it's a longer book, and so you're a longer chapter. It's 66 verses. And so what's done in chapter 3 is you have three verses with the first letter. The first three verses pertains to the first letter, or relates to the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the next three verses, and so on. And so that's how you have three times the verses with 66. And then chapter 5 still has 22 verses in the book, but it does not follow that same pattern as far as the acrostic structure. As far as the theme goes, the theme is actually in the title of the book itself, Lamentations. A sorrow, a weeping, a mourning. That's the definition of Lamentations, and that's what you'll find in the theme of this entire book. And also, you'll see a road to renewal. So there's a lamentation, and the lamentation, there's got to be a cause for lamenting, and there's the setting or the background of this book is just right after the destruction of Jerusalem and exile of the Jewish people. Then the second part, there's hope there because it's a really sad book. It's really sad to hear the outcry and the pain and the mournings and the groanings of all the affliction that's going on here in this book. But then there's a beautiful hope where you see a road to renewal. So there's an outcry of pain and suffering, but then you see a coming back to the Lord. I mentioned the lament is destruction of Jerusalem and the exile of the Jewish people. And on the road to renewal, I picked this up from William McDonald's commentary. There's sin recognized, which leads to destruction. There's sorrow of the people, which leads to repentance. There's prayer of the Jewish people, which leads to hope. And then there's faith that we see in this book that leads to restoration. Now, as far as the authorship, I think I referenced already Jeremiah. So from an authorship standpoint, it's an anonymous authorship, I would say, for the Book of Lamentations. No, there's no clear definition of, you know, who penned this book, but there's a lot of clues and tradition in the Christian faith. It points strongly to Jeremiah, the weeping prophet who wrote this book. Some clues that I'd like to share is one, Jeremiah spent years warning Israel about the upcoming destruction and what was to come. Directly, a message directly given to him by God and shared with the people. And then he was an eyewitness of the destruction shortly after the prophecy. Very interesting, as I mentioned earlier, in reading this. Go back home and throughout this next couple months, spend some time in the Book of Lamentations. Read the chapters and then read the relating chapters like Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, you have God speaking to Jeremiah and through him telling him, go to the temple gates and share my message to the people. And it wasn't a soft, lovey-dovey message. It was a very harsh message of truth that they needed to hear, and it was foretelling exactly what was going to happen. And then again, Jeremiah was an eyewitness of that destruction, and so that's why Christian tradition points to Jeremiah as the author. Some historical events leading to this book. This is really interesting information when I was studying this. 500 years of rich history prior to this book. Rich history of God's provision for the Jewish people. Let's point to a couple quickly here. Abraham, God promises Abraham a nation, and he delivers. God promises Abraham a land, promised land. Then we have, fast forward, many things happen in between. Fast forward, you have David, King David. God eventually grants victory to King David, where Israel is taken as the capital, Jerusalem is taken as the capital of Israel, and he establishes this royal line of kings through David's line. Then we also see the beauty of God's presence in the temple and the direct relationship that the people had with God. So during this time, unfortunately, especially if you're a Sunday school teacher here and you taught young kids in Sunday school and you're going through the Old Testament, many times you have to often repeat to the children, and they rebelled against God. They rebelled against God, and it's tough having to explain that. I remember doing that in California, teaching Sunday school class, and we were going over the stories over and over again, and you're thinking about this 500 years of richness that God's provisions through Abraham and David, but then we see just the disorder and the immorality and all the other just turning away from God, and it's a repeated pattern even throughout that time. But now we're coming to the peak here, right before Lamentations, that 500 years later, a little bit more than 500 years later, in 586 BC, the most horrendous catastrophe happens for the nation. You have, like I mentioned, the destruction of Jerusalem, and this is by Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And if you want to go back and get a good understanding of exactly what happened from history there in the Bible, you'll see in 2 Kings chapter 24 through 25 the story of the destruction of Jerusalem. And then with Lamentations, this book follows with Jeremiah weeping over that destruction. Why are we here going over Lamentations? So when the elders decided, what should we do for the upcoming devotion? What topic? Why would we pick Lamentations? So a couple things that I jotted down that I wanted to share with you. We tend to want to deal with just all the good things, right? We want to deal with the comforts and the glitz and the glamour and the good stuff in life. But when we look back and focus on the sorrows and the challenges and the struggles in the Christian life, for us, it's something that's unexplainable, where the world would sorrow and weep and have such a struggle and pain, hopelessness, very different for the Christian. We are able to go to this and go through those sorrows and draw closer to God. All of us have experienced that, right? The number one thing that we could think of is death of a loved one, a close member of our family. When that happens, we have this, hard to explain other than saying it's strange. It is strange, you know, the hope of a Christian to be able to say something so bad happened and yet it draws me closer to God. So that's important for us. And a couple of quotes that I wanted to read on this is, a preacher had said in a sermon that I was listening to, sorrow gets us in touch with the reality in life. And Ecclesiastes 7:2 is referenced that it is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, because that is the end of every person and the living takes it to heart. And he had mentioned this quote was, a stroll through a cemetery can be sometimes better than a cruise on a cruise ship. A vacation on a cruise ship. And no offense to anybody who's on a cruise right now, like my brother, Bob Okunyeman, he's probably not listening right now, but it was funny when I was thinking about that, and it's absolutely true. You know, we enjoy the nice things in life. We enjoy these good things, and God gives us these blessings. But even then, we could go back and look. You know, a stroll through a cemetery could be sometimes even better than that, because it gives us a good reminder of what life is all about and God's purposes, God's ways. And like we learned last week, or not learned, but like some of us learned, and many of us were encouraged as far as the reminder, this is temporal, that is eternal, right? And it's a great hope for us. So then getting into the outline of Lamentations chapter 1. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, speak of the desolation of Jerusalem. And you'll see in those 11 verses just the sorrow, the outcry, the pouring out of mourning and weeping. And then you have in verses 12 through 22, three things here. We have the cry of the people, and through Jeremiah, we have the confession, and then we have the prayer. So there is hope here. So let me go ahead and read. I know we're going to be a little bit tight on time, so I'll try to take some tidbits and some verses out here. But verses 1 through 11, rather than going through the whole chapter here, I'll take out some of these verses and share a little bit for encouragement for all of us today. Verse 1 is, how lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow is she who was great among the nations. The princes among the provinces has become a slave. And so you go through the first 11 verses, and this is the theme that you'll get from this first part of the chapter. The comparison of what it was like and what it's like now. It's sad, right? How lonely sits the city, how like a widow she is who was once great among the nations and was a princess among the provinces. Okay. Verse 2, she weeps bitterly in the night. She has none to comfort her. With this verse, something that really stood out to me is someone weeping and having no one to comfort her. There were friends galore before in the city, right? That was where the nation was able to go and look to the neighboring nations and find find friendship and find comfort and actually turned away from God, but sought other people amongst the nations for that comfort. Now there's nobody. And you see in this passage, five times cries are brought before the Lord himself, but there is no response. So that's a hopeless, sad state, at least in this first part of the chapter. Verse 7 says, Jerusalem remembers in the days of her affliction and wandering. So throughout the affliction and wandering, there's a time to think and to reflect. And what I got out of this in verse 7 is it doesn't seem like a good, a true repentance or a nature of repentance when they're the Jewish people are remembering, because they long for the days of old. So it's more of their desire for what was in the past. But really, is there a thought of the care and the concern about their love for the Lord and then their lost love for the Lord? That's a good application for us as far as remembering God's promises and the relationship with him, not just the good times for the sake of our comfort and benefits, but rather for the sake of that personal relationship with the God who saved us and who loved us. In verse 10, we read about the adversary has entered the sanctuary, the temple. You'll find, and this is another thing to go back and study, but many at this time were so boastful in the temple, the great temple of God, yet they had no real relationship with God. And so they called out the temple, the temple, the temple. And you can go back again to Jeremiah chapter 7, where Jeremiah is standing in front of the gates and sharing God's message. But God himself is saying, you call the temple so vainly, but there's no relationship with me. So stop thinking about this in a vain way and make it real in your life. Verses 12 through 17, we see the cry. Verse 12 says, is it nothing to you? Do you not feel the same? Verse 16, for these things I weep. Jeremiah was sorrowful. He was weeping over Jerusalem. He was touched by the sin of his people. We see Jesus, an example of Jesus in the New Testament, who expressed very similar sorrow over the people of Jerusalem. Some said that, or he said, who do men say that I am? Some say, and then the response is you're John the Baptist or even Jeremiah. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, he wept and was sorrowful over the sin of the people. And we see that in the cry in this next section in verses 12 through 17. The confession, verses 18 through 19. The Lord is righteous. This is verse 18. The Lord is righteous, for I rebelled against his command. And so this is where we start to see a turn, and we see a recognition, and we see the road to repentance for the Jewish people. The Lord is righteous, for I rebelled against his command. The best thing that we could do when we're going through this period of our life and we're struggling with the effects and the aftermath of sin is owning the sin, confessing it before the Lord, and drawing near to him. Blessed are those who mourn, we read in the New Testament. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The best response that we could have and that God's people could have is to confess our sins and to turn from it. And then in verses 20 through 22, we have the prayer. Verse 20 reads, my heart is overturned within me, for I have been very rebellious. Again, recognizing our rebelliousness, where the people are recognizing here their rebelliousness and understanding that there's a need for repentance. For us, recognizing God's love shown through discipline. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5, we read, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. The people here are experiencing the chastening of the Lord. It was due. It was worth what they were doing and what they there was a cause and effect here. And so now the recognition for us as a believer, for God's people, is don't despise the chastening of the Lord. There's value to that. Another verse that I wanted to reference from Psalm 119, verse 67, David says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your law. There's, like I said, so much in this chapter. There's so much in this book. for us to see the response, the correct response of these kinds of struggles and challenges. And we see so many different things. We see the love of God. We see the righteous wrath of God. And that's sometimes something that we also tend to forget. You know, we sometimes take for granted his grace and his love and his mercy. And it's something that is so beautiful and so wonderful and precious that we can hold on to. But it is good to be reminded of his righteous anger, his righteous wrath against sin. And it's a good reminder for us. The beauty of it is we have his promises that he will never leave us or forsake us, but he will discipline us. And it is for our good when he does. And I've shared some verses about that. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Also being reminded, Hebrews 10, verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. God's judgments are righteous, and it's a reminder that his pain that he can inflict upon us, or our sin, the consequences of our sin, his discipline is there because of his love for us. So I think it's of the Lord that even on Sunday we had our brother Bivin share a message here from the pulpit. And I know, brother, there was a lot of conversation amongst some of the brethren here who heard that message in regards to the conviction, right? We're here. We are the children of God. We have been saved by such a amazing sacrifice and everything that was given by the Lord to save us. And then we come together and we gather. And like what we're seeing here, how often do we forget? How often do we walk away from the Lord? How often do we take for granted God's rich mercy, his love, and his care for us? And how often do we forget who he is? He's a righteous, loving God, a holy God. And I think that was a good tie-in this week as I was preparing for this message and just thinking about the message that was shared to us on Sunday. May we, as a people of God, as a church, come together and just realize the importance of that. Our walk with the Lord, our tendency as humans to make mistakes, as sinners to make mistakes, but what our desire should be. Do we cry out to the Lord? Do we cry out over sin, the sin in our lives? And then does it lead us to repentance? Does it lead us to confession? And does it lead us to representing the Lord Jesus in our world so that other people could see and be drawn to him? Praise God that we have the opportunity again to think about these things. Looking forward to the remainder of the devotions that we could share from the Book of Lamentations. Our Father God, we just thank you so much that we have this time to come to you. We can bring our petitions before you, Lord, but this is a great reminder that before we even come to you with any of our petitions, our requests, may it be our heart's desire to come to you seeking apologizing to you for anything that we've done wrong in our lives, understanding and thanking you for your forgiveness for us, that you paid for our sins, past, present, and future, and that we have this relationship with you. And when we make mistakes, when we fall short, to be reminded that your discipline for us is only because of your love for us. Help us to honor you. Help us to desire. Help to do what's right. Help us to be like Jeremiah, who wept for righteousness and who wept for all that was going to happen because of the people's bad relationship with you. Help us to be as sensitive as that. We thank you again for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his love and for his sacrifice for us. And as we come to you this evening with our heart's desire to be closer to you and to be able to bring to you our petitions, we ask that you hear us. And we thank you that you invite us to come talk to you like this. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.